Okay, you ready for my intro? Today we're going to talk about giving thanks. And at the end of the service, if Lord willing, the creek don't rise, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share what you're thankful for. So thank you for priming the pump, and thank you for obeying that tug in your heart. And so the rest of you wait till I'm done. We've been, after our 24 hours of prayer, right before Easter, we had these stations set up as we went around and are seeking the Lord for new dreams and new visions for what God has for us. And we've been talking the last several weeks about prayer, and last Sunday was graduation Sunday, so we wanted to honor our graduating seniors, and Aaron did a great job honoring them and honoring the Lord. But we've been talking about prayer, about how Jesus prayed, why we pray, the intimacy of prayer, kind of getting rid of some of the formality, the fact that God just wants to talk to us, huh? He wants to relate to us and have a conversation with us, and that's what prayer is. Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 6, and note what he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." It's important that we, as we've been studying prayer, that we do want to talk to the Lord. The Lord does want to hear what we have to say. He does want to hear our prayer requests, our petitions. He loves that because he's a good father and he wants to not only relate to us, but he even uses the story to go, if a son asks for a loaf of bread, a father's not going to give him a rock. And even though we're evil and we know that and understand those good things to do, in the same way, your heavenly Father is holy and perfect in love. And so when you ask him, he's not messing with us. He's not out to dupe us or bait and switch us. God's not pulling a con on us. He didn't invite you here this morning so that you could give your money to this church. He woos us in so that he can talk to us and have a relationship with us, and that's part of our story. But note what it says, don't be anxious about anything. That's a challenge in and of itself. That's a whole other series. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, and then it says, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And so a couple questions that we really want to talk about this morning is why give thanks and when to give thanks. Why should we be thankful? Why do we present our request with thanksgiving? And why and when and how and all those different things. So picture this scenario for a moment. You've seen, a little six-year-old boy. It's his birthday. Grandma and grandpa come over and they walk in and give him a present. And it's just a toy that he just absolutely loved, right? And the little boy starts playing with it. And then what's the parent usually say at that moment? Tell him thank you. What do you say? Imagine the little boy goes, nothing. No, tell him thank you. I don't want to. Give the present back. Okay, thank you, right? For some reason, we teach our little, from, knee-high to the grasshopper, we coach them, and we coax them. And we say, tell him thanks. At the dinner table, how many of you try to teach your children, pass the salt, please, right? Yo, hey, salt over here, now. That's not going to work at our house, right? Maybe imagine a young 20-something. For some of us, that's a long time to imagine to go, right? You get that promotion, and they come home, and they tell you and go, I did it all on my strength and my wisdom, and my intellect, and my skill, and my prowess. And you think, maybe you ought to be a little grateful that the Lord might have helped in that promotion business, right? Or your mom goes through successful heart transplant. And you walk out of the hospital and go, boy, we're sure lucky. I imagine one of the things you would do is you would want to shake that doctor's hand, his or hers, and say, thank you. But I imagine most people walk out of the hospital and say, thank you, God, There's an appropriateness to that, isn't there? We tell children to say thank you because it's polite, right? But are we trying to teach them just manners? You think about it, what's the purpose of manners anyway? Is that to just be a good child with manners, a good person with manners? You know, isn't there some aspect that we want to appreciate what others do or appreciate what we have? You know, I'm thankful to live in this great nation, aren't you? It's an appropriate time. It's an appropriate thing to say thank you to our servicemen and women. But you think about, you know, like tell your grandma and grandpa thank you. That gift costs someone something, right? It may not be a big effort to pass the salt, but it still costs them a little bit. And there's an appropriateness and a politeness to say please and thank you. That whole idea of being thankful to someone that passes the salt or someone who gives a gift, it promotes good relationship, doesn't it? Because that's what it's all about versus, yo, hey, hand the salt now. Or just reach across and grab it in front of someone and they about bite your arm. You want good relationships because we live in a society, we live in a culture, and we live in family units. This idea of thanksgiving creates an attitude of gratitude, as they say. But it also reminds us that we're dependent. We're dependent on the Lord for every breath that we take. In Him we live and move and have our being, Scripture says. But it also reminds us that we're interdependent on other people. I need help in this life, don't you? You know, I don't necessarily need help with the salt. I can get up and go get it. But it's sure nice to be connected in community and be interdependent on each other. It reminds us that we're not alone. Let's go negative just for a brief moment. How does it feel when someone doesn't say thank you? You ever open a door for someone, you know, and they walk by and don't say anything, you know? And you're not opening it so they, you know, because, hey, you deserve to give me a thank you because I'm a great guy. But it is just nice, isn't it? Or, you know, when you help someone out, imagine maybe you help someone move and never hear a word or anything. It's just nice. It helps promote good relationships, right? We do it more than just to be polite. We do it more than just to be giving. But the idea of opening the door for someone is trying to promote goodwill and good relationships with other people. You do it again even if they don't say thank you, right? Because that's the right thing to do. But thanksgiving and giving thanks is an attitude shifter. When you say thank you to someone that's opening the door and they smile, oh, you're welcome. That reorients us in relationship with people. It reorients us towards what I will call this morning rightness. Scripture would call it righteousness, the right way to live, the honorable way to live before the Lord. Psalm 104 says this, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Now think about it when you walked in this morning and did you offer up a thanksgiving or praise? I'm not saying that to get on to you, but just think about how casually we come into church, into the Lord's presence, into the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And sometimes we go, man, I hope this doesn't go too long. It's a really nice day. Man, my tummy's really growling. I hope it gets to it quick. I hope I don't nod off. And sometimes we tend to make the service about us, don't we, when the Scripture reminds us. And then it says, it tells us, enter his gates with thanksgiving. It's almost like the parent saying, what are you going to say to God this morning? And almost sometimes in our rebellious nature as children of God, we go, uh-uh, I'm here to get fed. I hope the worship music is good. I hope, you know, it's comfortable. I hope it's not too cold. I hope it's not too hot. I hope I have a good place to sit. I hope we don't do meet and greet. I hope we do meet and greet. Which is it? And we get all consumed with all of our life. And there's one thing about, now I don't want to talk about denominations, but there's something, and I've been to a couple Catholic services, but one of the things I see in the movies, which I think is kind of cool, is anytime a Catholic person, and don't correct me now, but correct me later if I'm wrong, When they walk into the back of the sanctuary, they sometimes kneel or they cross themselves. There's an honoring in that. What the first thing they do is somehow an honoring to the Lord. Whether you think it's tradition or ritual or whatever, I'm not worried about that. But there is a pause, isn't there? When they walk into the presence of the Lord or the sanctuary of God, and when Scripture says, hey, tell our dad thank you. And sometimes we just want to go, I don't feel like it. Well, that's why we have to coach our children. Children don't feel like when they got a toy, they just want to play with the toy. They don't want to take that 30 seconds to go, thank you, Grandma, thank you, Grandpa, right? But imagine us as believers, as children of God, that we sometimes come to church and we never say thank you. We forget to enter in the doors and we look for our seat and we're fellowshipping and socializing. That's a great thing because we like each other. We got a good, likable bunch of folks. But imagine if we just paused for a moment and entered his gates with thanksgiving. Why? Why do we give thanks? Because it reorients us, doesn't it? It reminds us whose we are and who we belong to. It reconnoiters our thinking. It adjusts our attitude. It shifts our perspective. Because sometimes we walk in and go, man, it's been a brutal week. It's been a tough week. And I don't feel very thankful. But the moment that you begin to have a little thanksgiving, it begins to shift something inside. And it starts to align us correctly and rightly with our walk with the Lord and with other people. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. Paul's writing to the church, but he's telling them what's happened with him and the Lord. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. What's that? Okay. I have a Bible. No sweat. 2 Corinthians. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That's the cool thing about having a Bible, huh? We're spoiled, aren't we? It's like, we don't demand you bring your Bibles. We read it for you. I should have brought my glasses. My arms aren't long enough. No, I got it. I'm going to start at verse 7. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for a common good. Oops, I'm in 1 Corinthians. See, I really can't see. I'm thankful for the eyes I used to have. 2 Corinthians 12. Hang in there. Verses 8. It says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, and in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's not saying he's a masochist here. But you could say that another way. The Lord sometimes just says, I'm everything you need. Sometimes the Lord doesn't answer our prayers, even when we present it with thanksgiving. I'm sure Paul was pretty thankful. He's the one who wrote the thanksgiving scriptures, most of them. But even in the midst of that, he understood, because that's part of conversation with the Lord. The more we communicate with him, the more we get his heart. And that means that we don't have to go, I didn't get what I wanted, and so therefore I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to be in right relationship with you anymore. But Paul has that great understanding that there's a thankfulness that gets shifted even in his prayers that aren't answered. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. I'm going to read some of that, and Deb's going to show you a couple of verses. This is a familiar story to many of us, of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. I'm going to read part of it, and then we'll show, we'll look at those in a minute. Luke 17, Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And Jesus is kind of talking this idea that he highlights that this one foreigner is the one, not the Jews, who should be the most thankful. We should be the most thankful people on the planet. We live in the freest nation in the world, the greatest nation, the most powerful nation. We should be thankful just for that alone. Oh, we have a lot of things wrong in our country, but I travel the world. So do other people. Okay? But we get to come here freely and worship the Lord. Thanks to our servicemen and women again. But this guy thanks him, and that's Jesus' point of the story to go. The other guys who are Jews, who should be the most grateful people because they're the special ones, they're the chosen people, aren't even grateful. And so this idea of us coming in and giving thanks is a right mindset. Verse 17 isn't up there. Yeah, I didn't think so. Jesus says, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, verse 19, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Note, by the way, this is an interesting thing in the text. He's already been healed, right? Because he's coming back and he's thankful. But note what Jesus said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." He's already been healed, but now this thanksgiving, this faith to go, "You did this." He recognizes who Jesus is, and he's the one who can heal, and he did heal, and he comes back and is thankful. But this is where God says, "You have aligned yourself with life, and you're well." Thanksgiving is one of those indicators that we are well, when you can still offer up praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. It's the right way of living. It's the right alignment, and it makes you well. Not physical healing. That already happened to him, but he's well in his heart. He's well in his soul. That's why we sang, "It is well with my soul." Well, why give thanks? Help us realign with the Lord, with the world. It's an attitude shift. It's a perspective corrector. When to give thanks? Well, Philippians 4:6 says it again. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So the first thing we should do when we give thanks is when we pray. When we pray is a good time to give thanks. Sometimes we get sloppy in our conversation with the Lord and we just ask for a bunch of stuff. Put a quarter in, pull the lever, hopefully, you know, something will come out. You know, punch the right numbers and you get the request. It's almost like he's a vending machine God sometimes. But this idea is when we pray to say, you know, we teach our kids to say please and thank you. You'd think, when he says, present your request to the Lord, you'd think he would say please. He doesn't say please. He says to say thank you. That's almost an act of faith, isn't it? To go, you know, part of a petition is asking God for something. The Lord wants us to ask. Ask. You have not because you ask not. So it's okay to ask. So don't feel guilty about asking. The Lord wants to take care of us. He wants to be in right relationship with us. But part of that attitude is when you do ask, include thanksgiving in your prayers. Amen. Try this sometime this week. Try only praying a prayer of thanksgiving. Don't ask for nothing. Just set some time aside and say, today I'm just going to thank the Lord. I'm going to thank him for my life, for my wife, my children, my husband, my spouse, whatever, my job, my health, seeing me through that, remembering this thing. Imagine if you just had a prayer time where you just thank the Lord. Think about the things that would shift. I know years ago, Ashley and Angela and Abbott Learning talked about the chicken soup for the soul, this idea of keeping a thanks journal. And I think the idea, and correct me if I'm wrong after the service, is every day you pick three things to be thankful for, to be grateful for. It's a gratitude journal. And the next day, pick three different things. And the next day, pick three different things. And we forget that when we start having an attitude of gratitude, it changes us. Literally, chemically inside, it stirs something, different types of endorphins that are released. Imagine this. Try sit through a whole service and smile the whole time. Or just smile at other people. I double dog dare you to just smile at people on the way out, and it'll change your relationship with them. They'll think you did something wrong, probably, or you're up to no good, right? But imagine just what happens when you just have your countenance different. You know, what's the saying, if Christians are really saved, they should let their face know, right? It's kind of that idea. But this idea of thanksgiving, imagine doing a gratitude journal. As Christians, of all the people on the planet, we should be the people who are grateful. I know I need God's grace, and I'm grateful for it. We need to pray. We need to give thanks when we pray. That's what Scripture teaches. We also need to give thanks when we come to church. Huh, go figure. We talked about that a little bit, but listen to what Psalm 9:1 says. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. This is a proper mindset, isn't it? Look at Colossians chapter 3. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When we worship, a big part of our worship should just be saying thank you. That's why we offer communion by intention, that anytime you want, if you're a believer in Jesus, you can come. And the idea of Jesus saying, remember me. Remember this work I've done on the cross. My body, my blood. Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. How can you remember that without an attitude of thankfulness? How can we come to the altar of the Lord or the service of the Lord and walk out with not ever saying thank you? Salt's one thing. A presence, another thing. Eternal life is kind of a big deal. Right? And we can never exhaust our thanksgiving for that. And that's why Paul writes, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. And don't forget, mind your manners and say thank you, Lord. Psalm 95. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. I hope this isn't too boring. This better be good. It orients us again in a proper perspective, doesn't it? Appropriateness to holiness. Appropriateness to a king. We get to be friends with a king, and the king happens to be our daddy. And to a father, and to a power, the most powerful thing ever. Amen. In all of creation, we get to have right relationship with him. That's why Scripture declares the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That when we come in, and maybe we should start kneeling as we walk in the back, I don't know. More than anything, we want to orient our minds and our hearts to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. I imagine if the President of the United States, whether a Democratic president or a Republican president or an independent president, walked in those doors and, you know, the bodyguards came in, they say, the President of the United States, we'd probably all stand. There's an appropriateness to honoring those in authority or a king, maybe the King of England. you know, or the queen, you know. And even if she came, even though we rebelled against them and won, that's a whole other story, right? We would still honor someone. Our God is a big God. And when we come to worship, there's a big part of worship should be just thanksgiving. So when we come to church, giving thanks starts us off on the right foot, doesn't it? Worship is to Him and for Him and about Him. And we come to worship Him out of honor and respect, don't we? Scripture says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It also says, honor your father and your mother. These are commands. Just like, what do you tell Grandpa? It's a suggestion, but it's a command, isn't it? To go, remember to say thank you. Well, this is not a big deal, maybe. Another reason, a good time to give thanks is when we eat. Glory, hallelujah. Amen? 1 Timothy, Paul writes to this young pastor, and he says, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you want your food to taste a little better, just pray. Or if you don't want that second piece of lemon meringue pie not to have any calories, just pray, and they're gone, I promise. Don't quote me on that, but we're not talking about gluttony. We're just talking about this idea of when we come into the presence of the Lord and recognize that every good and perfect gift is from above. Romans 14:6. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to God, does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. Whether you abstain from something or indulge in something, the idea is to have a thankful heart, whether you eat meat or you don't eat meat. And that's what Paul's writing to the church in Rome say, because there's Jews and Gentiles, and they have different beliefs about whether to, you know, have bacon, BLT or whatever, you know. And he goes, look, if you can give thanksgiving to the Lord, it's okay by me. It's okay by the Lord. That specialness when we come together at the dinner table, isn't it sacred? I can almost quote you my dad's prayer. He almost always says like the same thing. But there's a sacredness to that, and there's an honoring of the Lord. You ever been in a restaurant and seen a family across the way bow their head and give thanks? It's, you go, there's someone that's grateful to the Lord. They're not necessarily trying to show off. Me and our family aren't trying to do that when we do that. But it reminds us to go, this is from heaven. You think of Jesus in Luke chapter 9, feeding of the 5,000. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. If Jesus can say thank you for his meal and for the meals, I think it's a probably cool idea that if we just have a little gratitude as well. And then Matthew 26:26, we talked about communion. When he was at the table, or while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. He was the first one to give thanks for communion. Or Luke 24. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. This is that after the resurrection. He's already defeated sin and death on the cross. He's raised from the dead, and he comes back, and he's walking on the road to Emmaus, and they go, don't you know what happened? He's like, hey, what's going on, guys? And he begins to break down the scriptures for him, and so they invite him in to where the other disciples are, and they don't even recognize him because he's become different, or they're kind of muted or blinded. But when he gave thanks, this is the cool thing. When they gave thanks, they go, oh, there's Jesus. Because see, that's what happens. When we give thanks, we can now begin to see Jesus a little more clearly. When we are grateful, it helps us understand, there's the Lord in the midst of our brokenness. There's the Lord in the midst of our world. And it changes how we see and encounter God. And then James 1:17, I already quoted it, but every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good gift. You may not like meatloaf, but it's still from the Lord. Or that baked potato, or you know, broccoli. My kids hate broccoli. It was like, shut up and be thankful, right? It just reminds us who Jesus is, doesn't it? That he's the bread multiplier and the bread breaker. He's this food sanctifier and the gift giver. It reminds us of our need and that Jesus meets our need. Matthew 6:26 says the birds. Do we have that one? No. Let's forget it. Another reason to be thankful is when we are in all circumstances. Now let me break that down for you for a minute. When we are in all circumstances, what in the world does that mean? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's easy when things are good. You get a graduation present, that's easy to go, that's a good circumstance. I got accepted to that college. Hey, I got the job. We won the game. Hey, speaking of winning the games, Baxter boys almost repeated. They got runner-up, but they won state last year, and the Riverton girls won state again. So congratulations to both those teams. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So let's give thanks for that. You all know I moved to Columbus, and ever since I've moved to Columbus, we haven't won a baseball game yet. 0-20. Wait, we're waiting until football season, though. Go Titans. Anybody, enough of that. But on the other side of that circumstance, right? I don't know why I said that, wasn't in my notes. So, but on the other side of all circumstances, there's unanswered prayers. That lump is cancer. We lost. There's more bills than money this month. See, it's easy to say thank you when everything's peachy. Everything's going well. Why give thanks in all circumstances? I think it can fortify your resolve. When things aren't going good and you still have a grateful heart, I think that can change us. It shifts our perspective around a little bit. It can remind you of whose you are. David declares, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. To go, it reminds us that we're still the Lord's, even if I don't have enough money at the end of the month. And it opens the door. Turn over, if you would, if you have your Bibles, to Romans. I know we're hopping through a lot of different scriptures this morning, but that's okay. It's church. Paul writes this as well. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access to faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It opens the door to maturity. That it takes a mature person when you're trying to tell your kids, you know, hey, be patient, wait, keep praying. You know, as a little child, they're pretty impatient. A baby gets a little bit hungry and cries, right? A toddler gets fussy and tired and grumpy, you know. But the longer that we go and the longer we walk with the Lord, there's this idea that when we got to be more patient, have more perseverance, that perseverance is developing a work in us called character. And we strengthen our character, it helps us understand our hope is real and it's powerful. It opens the door. That's maturity, is when we are able to give thanks when everything's not good. We've grown to a deeper understanding of the bigger picture of life, haven't we? We trust Him more than our situation. That's what you can do when you give thanks. And that's what will see us through sometimes those circumstances. I don't have enough money for my bills at the end of the month. I'm going to walk with the Lord and try to be faithful and do what I can. And I'm going to ask the Lord for help. Or sometimes when we don't get those answered prayers, we can trust Him in the midst of that to say, God, I'm going to ask You for strength just for today. And when we are thankful to the Lord in those times, go. I've sat with a lot of people who've had cancer. And I always hear them have some sort of thanksgiving to the Lord. I'm thankful for my family, thankful for the hospital, I'm thankful for the treatments that I thank You. I'm thankful for the possibilities. Those are the people that I recognize as mature. So just by way of review, and then I'm going to give you a chance to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Why should we give thanks? It reorients us to rightness. It's the right thing to say thank you when someone passes a salt or opens the door or gives you a present or gives you breath. It shifts our perspective when we can get so into ourselves and make it about us. It helps shift to go, this is about the Lord. There's other things at play here other than me. And it aligns our attitude. Anybody ever been to a chiropractor, had a bad back or, you know, a hitch in your giddy up? And it realigns you and you go, there's relief in that realignment. And when you walk straight without an ache, then you're realigned, and that's what Thanksgiving can do. If you don't believe me, try it. Again, I double dog dare you. And when should we give thanks? When we pray, present your requests with thanksgiving. When we come to church, enter His gates with praise. When we eat, every good gift comes from above. Thank you for potato salad. And when we find ourselves in all circumstances, whether good or bad, just walking through life, we know that there's someone bigger near us, someone that cares for us, someone that loves us. We are called, Jesus says, my house shall be a house of prayer. We're called to be people of prayer. But part of that is giving thanks, a big part of prayer. So I want to ask you now, if you have something, no prayer request, got it? No prayer request. I know this is church. If you have prayer requests, see me after and we'll post it. Thanksgiving. Sometimes it's just a discipline to go, I need to re-remember how to be thankful again. So if you have something you want to thank the Lord for, if the Lord's tugging on your heart, stand up and just tell us what you're thankful for. Lorinda, praise the Lord. Yeah. Carla? Woo! Yeah. That's awesome. Burn, don't let him outdo you, brother. Amen. 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 And smiling. Note what Thanksgiving does. It generates something inside of us. It stirs things inside of us. I think you were in shape. Pounds you've lost. I've found a couple of those, just so you know. Amen. I want to read. Okay, last one. Just can't stop it. It's contagious. Last one, last time. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to You, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is Yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from You. You are the ruler of all things. In Your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give You thanks and praise Your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? This is what I'm thankful for. David's praying and he's giving praise to the Lord because he said, hey, we need to build a temple for the Lord. So he takes up the offering. The Lord doesn't let him build it. Solomon ends up building it. But he's coming together because after they've taken this offering, listen what he says. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all of our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of the fathers. They bowed down, prostrating themselves before the Lord and their king. David says, we took up an offering, and that you guys just knocked our socks off. And we have more than we need for the temple. That sounds familiar. You guys knocked my socks off. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for your faithfulness, your diligence, your generosity. We're going to write a check this next week for Pastor Mola, and he's going to hire 4 people full-time as a result of your generosity, as a result of your giving. This guy has lost his son, he's lost his wife in ministry, and he's got 200 kids that he's feeding every day and 35 orphans. But I praise the Lord, I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for our church. And when we have that attitude, it just blows me away how what that stirs up inside of me. And I'm telling you, I can't explain it, but I can tell you that thankfulness brings healing to my soul. I challenge you. Say a couple prayers this week just for thanksgiving. I challenge you also, tell other people what you're thankful for about them. The groundskeepers that we have here, the ladies that take care of the flowers, the people that vacuum and sweep this. Jody and Neil working on Friday and Saturday for the wedding and all this stuff and putting all this stuff. I'm just so thankful for the amazing servants that we have at this church. I'm thankful for you, and I praise the Lord for it. Let's stand and give him thanks. What can I pray, Lord, but thank you? Everything we have comes from you, from your goodness and your hand of plenty. What a great celebration today to hear couples being married 50 years, being faithful to pray, people with broken necks, thankful for our dads, thank you for our children, thank you for our grandchildren, thanks for our families, thanks for helping us in the challenges that we face. Lord, you're good. Help us to remember that. We thank you for being with us this morning. And now, Lord, I pray your peace and your blessing on these, your children. Remind them today that you love them and there's nothing they can do about it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.